WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is Chilean novelist Isabel Allende. She's the niece of slain Chilean president Salvador Allende. She now lives in exile in Venezuela. Allende's first novel, The House of the Spirits, dazzled readers in Europe, Latin America, and this country. Her novels are elaborate, magical tales set against a political backdrop. Her new book is called Of Love and Shadows. The story takes place in an unnamed Latin American country when a young couple discover a mass grave where victims of the dictatorship have been dumped. I asked Isabel Allende if the novel is based on a real incident.
Yes, in 1978 in Chile, the Catholic Church opened a mine, an abandoned mine, and they found 15 bodies. They had been killed by the military in 1973. Among the bodies were five members of the same family, and that's where I got the idea from.
Were they people that you knew?
No, they were peasants that had been killed. Many people were killed at that moment.
What was the personal connection you felt with that story? It obviously meant a lot to you.
When I read the story, I was living in Venezuela. I thought about the women in that family, the mother, the daughters, the wives, sisters. They had been searching for their men during 5 years, asking for them in the morgue, in the hospitals, in the concentration camps, in prisons, everywhere. And during all that time, they couldn't bury them or even cry. So I thought about that family a lot. And that family symbolized for me all desaparecidos, people who disappear.
The characters in your novel who discover the murder and then expose it are forced into exile. What were the circumstances under which you went into exile?
After the military coup, I stayed in Chile for many months because I thought that the dictatorship couldn't take very long leaving. We would have a democratic country again. We had no tradition in dictatorship or in repression. But finally, I was afraid. I had been working with the Catholic Church. I'm not a Catholic personally, but that was the only organization that was still working, the social organization that was working. So I got in touch with the priests in the slums, and I started working with them. And finally, I was very much afraid because me and my husband, we were more and more involved, and we thought that we were in danger.
Were there any threats made against your life?
Well, only on the telephone. Of course, I lost my job and that, but very little. Many people were really threatened and beaten in the streets and taken into prison, and many disappeared.
Did you have to sneak out of the country?
No, I left with a passport.
If you had stayed and left later, would it have been that easy to get out?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think I left at the right moment.
That's always difficult to tell, isn't it? What is the right moment to leave?
It's very difficult, and you always have this guilty feeling that maybe you should have stayed, and staying, you could do more, or something at least. But now I don't feel that guilt because I'm able to write, and I go all over the world speaking against the dictatorship, and in a way I'm working against it.
You didn't really start writing novels until you were living in exile. What was it about exile that made you turn to novel writing?
You know, at the beginning I felt paralyzed, as a tree without roots. I felt that all the memories of the past were, I was losing them, that all that had been my life, my family, my country, everything I had before was lost. And that's a very paralyzing feeling. But then, after some years, when my grandfather died in Chile, I started writing a letter to my grandfather to tell him that he could die in peace because I had all his memories with me. And to prove that I had forgotten nothing, I started writing about the things that he had told me when I was a child. And that's why the book, The House of the Spirits, begins with the story of Rose. Rose was the first fiancée of my grandfather, and she died poisoned, as is told in the book. Well, finally, I went on, my grandfather died, and I went on writing and writing. And after a year, I had 500 pages on my desk and nobody to send them to. So I thought, well, maybe this is a novel.
Has novel writing become a way to keep alive your memories of Chile and stories that you want to tell?
Yes, that's exactly. I feel much better now. I have all the past with me, and there are so many beautiful stories to tell, not mine, but the stories of other people. When I finished The House of the Spirits, my mother said, oh God, you've put everything there. There's nothing left for another book. And I said, no, there are many, many stories, and there are really.
You are a wonderful storyteller.
Oh, thank you.
Are there storytellers in your family? Were you told a lot of stories when you were growing up?
There is an oral tradition in my family. Women tell stories. And most of those stories were told by my mother. And she lives in Chile now, and she writes a letter every day. And many of those letters contain stories that she tells me so that I can write them.
I once read that when you were a child, you'd listen to soap operas on the radio.
I still do.
But in this piece I was reading, it said that your grandfather tried to forbid you from listening to the soap operas.
Well, he thought they were very vulgar. So he was a personal enemy of the radio because he said that those were unknown voices that came into your house and who knows what vulgarities they would be saying. He was a very conservative and strict man.
Did listening to these stories on the radio start to take on this this allure because they were taboo in your house?
Yes, I think I loved them because they were forbidden. And we would hide in the kitchen and hear these incredible stories. One of them, the first one I heard in my life, it came from Cuba, and it was called The Right to be Born. You can't imagine what that was. An illegitimate child that finds his mother, and finally he says, Mother, and she says, My son, and they both embrace. That was the sort of stories that we heard in the radio.
I guess soap operas are the same in every country.
Yeah, I love them.
Do you think soap operas have influenced your writing at all?
Of course, I write soap operas. My books are like soap operas, aren't they?
But soap operas with do you think of them as soap operas in a political setting?
It could be. It could be. I mean, I can't avoid speaking about politics or social problems, but there are love stories and a lot of violence in them, and they are soap operas, finally.
There are characters in your books who believe in spells and mystical powers and esoteric herbal potions. Was there anyone in your family who believed in those things?
Well, don't you?
Well, sometimes.
In my family, everybody did, and I still do. And these things are very common in Latin America. Of course, my grandmother was a clairvoyant, and she would do all the spiritism and all these things. But she didn't believe, I think, that she didn't believe really in ghosts. She thought that the house was haunted by the passions and obsessions of the people who lived in the house. Those were the spirits. So dreams were important, and feelings were very important. It was an unknown, invisible dimension of life.
How many years have you been in exile now?
12.
How has the experience of being in exile changed in those 12 years? Do you miss your country with the same ferocity that you did?
No. No, because somehow I have become a citizen of Latin America. Now I care for the whole continent. I think that we have a common destiny. We have had 500 years of exploitation and colonization. That makes us all brothers and sisters. And I think if we want to be saved from misery and underdevelopment and violence, we have to work together. So now I don't feel a foreigner any longer in the rest of Latin America. When I'm in Latin America, I feel at home. But of course, I miss my landscape, my friends.
Your mother still lives in Chile. Why did she stay?
No, she went back to Chile. She had not lived in Chile for the last 15 years. She was a diplomat when the military coup occurred. They were ambassadors in Argentina, where they were threatened to death, and they had to leave. So now, when my stepfather is 70, he decided he didn't want to die in a foreign country. He wanted to go back. So they went back recently.
Do you think they're safe there?
Yes, I hope they are.
Would you go to visit them?
No, I can't.
Isabel Allende, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Isabel Allende spoke with us from the NPR studios in New York. Her new book is called Of Love and Shadows. You're listening to Fresh Air.